Just pray. Lord, we pray that you'll open our hearts to you each and every day. And we pray, Lord, that we will see you more clearly and we will love you more dearly as days go by. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sharon, that really touched me about the babies. And you may know this already. And it's a privilege for females, but when you're having a baby, when you're expecting, you have three generations inside you. So you have your body, you have the baby, and the baby has the eggs for the next generation. It's wonderful. And that's, you know, that's so good. It's a female privilege, it's not a male. Male don't do that. And I think that is marvellous. It is good. And God has worked that out so wonderfully. I have a text today, and it's Isaiah 40. And I'm so pleased again that, again, because it's very often the case, and it's nearly always the case, that what Sharon has talked about this morning, it links so well with what I'm going to say. It's Isaiah 40, 1 to 11, and then I'm going to look a little bit at Matthew chapter 3. Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and rugged places are plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Amen. I knew I was going to speak on this text last week. And I was thinking, what makes us comfortable? What's comfortable? What do you think is comfortable? No need to reply. Unless you're Brian, who's not here, and he likes to interject a little bit, doesn't he? That's fine. And I was thinking, you know, you can be comfortably well off. And my second thought was that no one in this church is well off. We're all comfortable enough not to really suffer through lack of money, to really suffer. And I was thinking this in the week, because I just caught a bit of programme on the television, and a rich family had swapped with a more struggling family. But neither of them were struggling for money. They didn't know. They weren't going, the children of the one family weren't going hungry. And actually, the programme quite clearly puts that neither family, one family isn't happier than another just because they've got money. But we can be comfortably off. You can have comfortable moments. I have a chair at home, that is Sarah Setti, but she didn't take it with her when she went. And it's really comfortable. I fell asleep there for quite a while this morning. It's a really comfortable chair. And we have comfortable slippers, maybe, I don't. Or comfortable shoes, or a comfortable jumper, or comfortable stuff that makes us feel comfortable. And that's how we see comfort. And comfort is a fabric conditioner that's soft and nice and woolly and smells. And that's what we think of comfort. But the prophet here is prophesying, and he's not writing it at the time. He's writing a long time before these events. He's writing at the time when an opposing power has come into Israel, named the Assyrians, have come into Israel, and they're causing all sorts of trouble.
And Isaiah is writing this to say, comfort yourselves. And he's not even writing about the Assyrians. He's writing about the next load of trouble, which is the Babylonians, who really did sort the place out. Because things went badly then. And by then, it was awful. So the prophet is looking forward. He's speaking to the people of the day. He's speaking to the people so many years later. But he's also speaking to Christians, as he's done down the ages. Because we see these words of comfort, these words in Isaiah, are speaking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's really what is happening here. So these three horizons, if you like. Isaiah's day, Isaiah's prophecy for Christians. And they needed comfort. People need, we need comfortable things. I don't know if you picked up on this bit of news, but Richard Dawkins has finally said, I think the guy's mad anyway, but he's even madder. He said that actually, I don't want people to stop believing in God because it's comfortable for them. And he's kind of saying we need to believe in God because actually, although God doesn't exist, he'll say, it's good for people to believe in something. I don't know what the guy's talking about anymore. So he's saying actually God is good. It's good having God, although God doesn't exist. I've never heard such nonsense in my life. But so he's saying God is just comfort. I mean, he needs to really go and have a look at what he's talking about because we're not just Christians to be comfortable. We're Christians because we're following Jesus Christ. And this is uncomfortable. When Isaiah is writing this, either the time of the Babylonians or the time when the Assyrians have come, it's bad. Things are going badly. Even worse when the Babylonians come, the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem is ransacked, and the people, important people, just about importantly, are taken into exile. That's bad. Think things are bad for you. This was awful. This was very, very bad. And the people wanted comfort. Handel wrote his Messiah. It's an oratorio. And of course he took the words from the Bible. So there wasn't a separate writer. You obviously save money there. But the words are from this. And there's that, I don't know if you know, the start of the Messiah. That haunting high note of the tenor saying, comfort. Comfort ye my people. And in the old English, with all due respect to Steve, it sounds much better. Comfort ye my people. Comfort my people. Comfort ye. And this comes in, and Handel took these words, most of the words I've read, and he turned them into this wonderful piece of music. And the ends with the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So what I thought today, I would just go through this in a little way. Speak tenderly in verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jews. It's not tenderly as in, you know, not a bit delicate. It's encourage the people of Jerusalem. They're sitting in a place where the temple that was going to last forever, that was built of such solid stone, and it was never going to change. It's been rubbished. It's a pile of rubble. What's going to happen? The temple's been destroyed. Where's God? It's what the people would be saying. Where's God? That's the centre of our worship has gone. Encourage them. Look at the bigger picture, is the way I see that. Encourage the people of Jerusalem. Look at the bigger picture. In our small church here, we've been... And I think Sharon Nigel put it well. We have a big church mentality, in a sense, for a little church. We have all sorts of things that are to do with a big church. We have a big building, for goodness sake. We need to look at the bigger picture, not just what we've got here. We need to be encouraged that actually that's the case. The bigger picture, and the biggest picture, is that the Lord will return. The Lord will come again. What's bigger than that? We have Christmas starting. I'm sorry to say, it's starting up. It's revving into gear. I still go past places inviting you to sign up for Christmas lunch. In fact, one that struck out Christmas and put festive lunch, just sort of so that people can't say you're doing Christmas too early, and they've changed it to festive lunch. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. It's not very nice. We're going to see a lot more of Christmas being turned into a sort of winter festival. They tried it in Birmingham a few years back, and it was dreadful, and they changed it back to Christmas again. It was called Winterval, which is awful. But it started early. The Lord will return. Prepare the way of the Lord. Clear away the obstacles, not just for Christmas. Although that's brilliant. I love the autumn because I've got a birthday and Christmas, and as a child, that's when all your toys arrived. And I love the autumn. They don't arrive now in quite the same way. They didn't arrive in a very big way then. Lovely in the week to find a little girl, she's about 13, her birthday's on Boxing Day. So I said, I'll remember you on Boxing Day while I'm having a rest before my birthday. Autumn's great. And if you look around, one of the things that's growing are fungi. Look at this wonderful weather for fungi. Just outside the Kelso House are some big fly agarics. I don't know if anyone's seen them on the Bramshire. Big red toadstools, about so big, with this classic sort of noddy and big ears toadstool thing. And there's three huge ones. They're lovely. Very poisonous. Don't touch them, whatever you do. Don't touch any funguses. And there's lots of fungus around. The fungus are having a wonderful time. They're growing beautifully. Cotton Graveyard is a fantastic place for expensive fungi, and no one ever clocked on about this. But it's growing. Christmas is coming. But it's more than that. For these people, it was a return to the land. They've been in Babylon, and the prophet is saying, you're going to return to the land. Judah's going to return. We're going to be safe from the Assyrians. The Assyrian Empire went. It turned into the Babylonian Empire. That went. It turned into the Greek Empire, or the Medes and Persians Empire, then the Greek Empire. That went. It turned into the Roman Empire. That went. It turned effectively in that land into the British Empire. And that went. God's bigger than all the empires that can ever come. Don't worry. Isaiah, I think he's saying, don't worry, because the empires will fall. And these words, I'm going to turn over here. All flesh is as grass. In other words, men and women, they fade like the flowers of the field. They disappear. They're not going to last forever. The grass withers, the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. But the word of God stands forever. There's bigger things than empires. There's bigger things than what's going on in the news. I look at the news and it's dreadful. I can't think of any good news. It's dreadful. It's horrible news. But the word of the Lord will stand forever. Christ will return. And we've got these cataclysmic changes. Valleys raised up. That's a lot of earthwork. Mountains levelled. A lot more earthwork. Perhaps the levelling of the mountain goes in the valleys to raise them up. The rough ground is made plain. Things are sorted out on a big scale. The landscape is changing. The biggest part of the big picture is this big change, because the glory of the Lord will be seen. So what are we talking about? Not the coming of Jesus Christ as a baby. We're talking about the second coming. This is the end of time. The biggest part of the big picture is that the glory of the Lord will be seen. Yes, Jesus showed the glory of God, but the real big glory has yet to come. That's what we're looking forward to when we hear those words. Not Christmas, but the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's bigger than everything else. And not just Israel will go home, but all the nations. And it says it here, all the nations will see God. Here is your God. Where does it go? All the people will be led to him. I can't see it now. All the people will be led to him. Here it is. All mankind together will see it. We'll see the glory of the Lord. That's how we need to be ready. Not just Israel, not just Judah, not just the Christians. God will return. Jesus will return, and everyone will see him. I flipped to Matthew. So I added a bit because Sharon brought it in. Philippians 4:6. What shouldn't we be anxious? What's the point of being anxious? There's nothing to be anxious about. This is our comfort. This is our prophecy for us. And that verse in verse 6, where I've lost it now. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious, because God has got it in hand. Comfort is knowing that God has got it in hand. Matthew 3, and again, this is John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah.
The voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Goes on to talk about John. John's clothes were rough. He ate food from the trees and wild things. But he said, you need to prepare to receive Jesus Christ. I won't read all of that. We need to prepare our way to receive Jesus Christ. And once we receive Christ, then we'll see the glory of the Lord with everybody else. And these words are repeated in 1 Peter as well. The grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of God stands forever. Grass withers. We enjoyed the summer, but the leaves you see in the summer are shortly, not too long, going to be the brown leaves that Sharon talked about. It's dead. They've died. They've changed colour and they've died. And they've dropped off to save water because they're no good at being leaves. So they fall off. Beautiful though that is, those leaves are dead. But the word of God endures forever. Everything fades. The grass that you grow will just fade and wither. But God endures forever. And so we shouldn't put our hope in those kind of things, and we don't. We shouldn't put our hope in things that are going to fade. And then, going back to Isaiah, good tidings come. The good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. The good news of Jesus Christ is the good tidings that Isaiah is talking about. Go back to that one. That Isaiah is talking about. This is the good news. Thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, rejoice. I'm just paraphrasing it. Rejoice. Here is your God. Here is God. Lift up your voice with a shout. Don't be afraid. Say to everyone, see, this is God. The good tidings. I was thinking last week when I was kind of thinking about this. God has never let me down. God's timing is terrible for me because it's just right. I'd rather know a bit more in advance. But the timing is perfect. But I'm not. And so I think it's last minute. It's not really last minute. It's just good. God has guided me directly. God has said, do this. And I've tried to be very obedient. God has directed us passively. Things that we've been saved from that didn't happen. God is there working in the background. I love the idea that on every chair is, I was thinking every chair is an angel. There's an angel on every seat. God is there. These are working for you. And I remember someone, and she was a very good friend of mine, who sang those words. And it haunts me now. In 1980, she sang these words, and I had the recording for ages. That last bit. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall feed his flock and gather into one the lambs in his arms. Come unto me, all who labour, and I will give you rest. It's a wonderful, again, Handel is brilliant, just has that so hauntingly, that is so hauntingly sung by the soprano. Come unto me, all ye who labour, and I will give you rest. And it was 3 years later that those words actually meant anything to me. But I had to wait. God's people had to wait. There's still, unfortunately, a whole chunk of the Jewish population are still waiting for this. The Isaiah is prophesied. Isaiah is prophesied, if you go on in Isaiah to 61, it's prophesied about. And Jesus said these words when he preached at Nazareth, Isaiah 61. I'm not going to read all that. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach this good news. And Jesus said that. What did they do? They wanted to throw him off the cliff because he was including the whole world. He was including the whole world in this. His examples were a Syrian person and a Syrophoenician person. They didn't like that, but Jesus said those words. And if you have a chance, read from Isaiah 40 through to the end. It all links in because this is the message God wanted to give to Isaiah, that Isaiah gave to the people. The people had to wait. Isaiah is prophesied. Comforting cataclysmic change, I've put here. Things are changing in this church, but actually God is bigger than that. God's bigger than us. He's bigger than the church. He's bigger than the Church of England. He's bigger than all the free churches put together. God is bigger than that. And once we forget that, we're in danger. Once we think we're more important than God's bigger purpose, we're in danger. We need discomfort. We need to say to ourselves all the time, God is in charge. God has the bigger picture. Keep our eye on God and don't take it off. And I think most of all, perhaps we need to be patient. It's for the glory of the Lord that we exist. We're here to glorify him. We're not here to do anything else. Comfortable. I mean, comfort isn't about being comfortable. Comfortable is about spiritual spiritual sorted outness. It's a good word. If we come to the Lord, if we say, I want to be God's son or God's daughter, if I want to be that, then we have the comfort of knowing that Jesus Christ has died for us and he accepts us. That's the comfort he's talking about. And we know that God is above everything. We fail. If we like the grass, our flesh fails. We know that. Our eyesight goes. Our hearing might go. Our backs fail. Our legs fail. In the end, we're just something that's going to fade away and disappear. But the word of the Lord that we've tied ourselves onto is going to last forever. Our souls will last forever in heaven. Thank goodness for that. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Comfort is about knowing God. And being patient, for the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Amen. I struggled for a song here, and then Steve and Barbara helped me. We're going to sing O Church Arise, and Put Your Armour On.